Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. And I will make a statement concerning the message just after we read the scripture. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. And the title of the message is Mind Control Equals Death. Mind control equals death. Look in Proverbs 8, verses 35 through 36. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. The message that I'm going to be bringing today is a different message. It is not the exposition that I normally bring of a passage. I have preached on this text, expounding it in times past. You would find that message under the title, A Society of Death. But this message today is more of a warning, as well as information, than anything else. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching. And then, of course, you remember that passage in Ezekiel chapter 3, and you'll also find it in Ezekiel chapter 33, where God told Ezekiel, Son of man, I've set thee a watchman over the house of Israel. And he went on to say, when you see the danger, if you warn the people, he said, you've delivered your hands, and the blood's no longer on your hands. But if you see the danger and don't warn, then their blood will I require at your hand. He said, if you warn and they pay no attention, if they pay no heed, he said, they shall die, but you've delivered your own soul as well. So this message deals basically with an aspect of mind control and how it equals death. In times past, I've preached many, many messages concerning the mind, especially the mind in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. For the Bible commands us in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus. Over and over we're commanded to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And you've heard me many times say something like this, that you cannot act right unless you think right. In other words, thinking precedes action. Thinking precedes conduct. That is why the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we actually act out that which is in our mind and which is in our lives. Now, let me go ahead and clarify one important point concerning this message. When I title the message, Mind Control Equals Death, I am referring to that mind control that is known as humanistic and tyrannical mind control. Fallen men have always tried to control others, and they still do. All you have to do is research something that is known as MKUltra, or maybe even go to DARPA, or you could even type in Operation Midnight Climax, which dealt with LSD experimentation on people. Now, if you're really interested in mind control techniques, just simply go to your search engine on the internet and type in governmental mind control projects. And you'd be absolutely astounded at what comes up. So there will not only be numerous books and articles and whistleblowers, and many times they will be revealing not only the programs, but either the success or the failure of those programs as well. So now here's another truth I want to emphasize before we get started, and that is this, that everyone is ultimately the subject of mind control. Our minds are either controlled by truth or by error, either by the Word of God or by the Word of man. Our minds are either controlled by reality or they're controlled by propaganda. And to be honest, I actually prefer to have my mind washed and filled with the Word of God than I had the Word of man any day of the week. And I absolutely resist and refuse anything and everything that is contrary to the Word of God. When you study the Scriptures, you're going to find that there are principles in the Scriptures, and it's those principles that are to govern our lives and to lead us and direct us. And there's a vast difference between principles, feelings, emotions, situations, and circumstances. Emotions and feelings and situations and circumstances change, but principles do not change. So it's almost like Joshua when he said to Israel in Joshua 24, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve." So actually you could say, "Choose you this day who's going to brainwash you. Choose you this day who's going to fill your mind. And choose you this day whom you are really going to serve." Now, I must remind you that tyrannical governmental mind control has gone on for years and years. Some of you are old enough to remember an old movie known as The Manchurian Candidate. Now, I think Gregory Peck played in that movie. I think Frank Sinatra did as well. That movie was made in 1962. And how about the one by Charles Bronson that was titled Telephone, T-E-L-E-F-O-N? And that movie was about, if I remember, the telephone would ring. And the man would pick up the phone and say hello. And then a voice would start quoting some of Robert Frost's poem. And then the man would put the phone down, almost in a trance, go get a pistol, go out and murder someone or assassinate someone. And this was in 1977. Now, all I'm trying to say is, if we've been paying attention, we would have understood a lot of this has been going on for years. I remember years ago of seeing an old TV program, and I would have to remind you, because those of you who know me know that we have not had a TV in our home in years and years and years, so it was a really, really old program. But it was about a town or a village where everyone were practically zombies, and they just walked around almost in a trance-like state, and they were doing everything exactly the same except for one man. And a visitor came to that village, and he observed this, and he noticed the one man was different. And he finally, at the end of the program, it reveals why he was different. He didn't have a TV. He didn't watch TV. And everybody was being basically put in a trance by the pattern and everything that came on TV. I thought that was absolutely fascinating in one sense of the word. I know that TV has been used for good. But unhappily, the truth of the matter is TV can also be used for that which is evil and wicked. And when you just consider the propaganda, the pornography, the filth, the misinformation, and what I would even say the failed attempts at entertainment, and these sitcoms that are prevalent today are not funny. They are not humorous. I tell people, unless you've ever heard Red Skelton or Jack Benny, even Jackie Gleason, most folks have no idea what humor really is or what fun really was. But the truth of the matter is this, in my estimation, TV is a large, large and huge waste of time. You see, hardly anyone reads anymore. Hardly anyone does research or study anymore. And most people today blindly accept the propaganda, the error, the lies, and the misinformation that comes through the TV set, the mainstream media, and they never think to question anything that they hear. And the sad thing is this, they not only do not question whatever they hear, they follow what they hear, and they will end up defending what they hear even at their own lives. And at the expense of their own lives, even if it is illogical, unreasonable, and often unbiblical. Now, I'm going to be quoting a lot in this message today, because I'm going to give you some facts and some information, and I will also, in this message, append the sites so you can check them out for yourselves. But here's a good question. Did you know that six corporations control 90% of the media outlets in America. There is only an illusion of choice or objectivity. So here's the article. Listen carefully. Today, their impacts are more felt in our online news intake and media consumption habits. 37 years ago, 50 companies controlled the media in America. Fast forward to 2011. American news outlets are controlled only by 6 powerful corporations. Back in 2018, Jim Morrison, a singer, songwriter, and poet, who served as the lead vocalist of the rock band, once said, "Whoever controls the media controls the mind." He was right. Today, Americans think that they have unlimited variety of entertainment and media options right at their fingertips. But it is all a lie. The illusion of choice was fabricated by the media elites. In the early 90s, before the mainstream media adoption of the Internet, the media landscape used to be simple and straightforward. Today, 6 media giants control a whopping 90% of what we read, watch, or listen to. Now, I'm going to give you another quote. This quote is from John Swinton. I'm going to tell you the date after I read the quote. But John Swinton was the former head of the editorial staff for the New York Times. He was one of America's best-loved newspaper men, and he was called by his peers the dean of his profession. So there was a banquet held in his honor, and they were giving a toast. And John Swinton spoke, and here is what he said to the journalist who gave him the banquet and were toasting him. He said, "There is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinion, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper I'm connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours my occupation would be gone. The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Now, that was John Swinton. We are intellectual prostitutes. When did he say that? 1880. Wow. Well, in light of these facts, let me ask a few questions. Since I just read to you what Swinton said and told you how 6 media corporations control 90% of the news, here's some questions. How can anyone think that they are getting the truth and the whole truth apart from individual research and study? Here's another question. How can anyone blindly and mindlessly accept whatever they hear on TV or read in the newspapers? It's absolutely astounding to me that most people have become absolutely brain dead in refusing to think and to consider and question what is being reported. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to apply these truths, what I have just said, to some of the present things that we're going through. For instance, let's talk about COVID-19. Let's talk about face masks. Let's talk about social distancing. Let's talk about vaccines. So here's another question. Do you honestly think that you're getting the truth from the press and from TV journalists? Do you not think that there is an agenda that is being followed to our detriment and our destruction? Now, before I go any further, let me point something out. You may not realize this, but even movies have been made and are controlled by the CIA for propaganda purposes. In fact, here is one book that exposes the connection between Hollywood and the CIA, and the book is titled Hollywood and the CIA Cinema, Defense and Subversion, by Oliver Boyd Barrett, David Herrera, and James A. Baldwin. So let me just reiterate something for you, and that is this. Even your entertainment is propaganda. Even your entertainment is propaganda. A lot of the movies that you see are just nothing more than conditioning your mind to accept certain things. I was talking to a friend from up north this week, and he asked me, he said, "Did you see the movie Jericho?" Well, I said, "No. I don't even remember the last movie I ever saw." And I said, "No, I didn't see it." He said, "Well, it came on TV." I said, "Well, I don't have TV." He said, "What? You don't have TV?" I said, "No, I don't have TV." He said, "Well, I'm going to send you one down to Georgia." I said, "No, don't do that." I said, "I wouldn't watch it anyhow." I said, "I don't have time for it. It's just that simple." But you know, what we fail to understand is a lot of this is just sheer propaganda. It is amusement. And anyone that reads your Bible knows that the word muse is found in the Bible. And the word muse means to think. And you put the alpha or the A in front of it, amuse, it means not to think. So amusement, entertainment is you just sit there and you're not thinking, you're absorbing whatever's being thrown at you without any reflection whatsoever. Just read your Bible. Many times our Lord would ask a question like, "What think ye?" Or "Think ye this?" In other words, at least people at one time thought. I ran across, in doing some research for this, a litmus test to determine whether one is or not is a sheeple. Now, you understand that the word sheeple comes from a combination of the word sheep and the word people. And usually, the term is used in a derogatory reference. Because a sheeple is someone who is easily manipulated, someone who is easily controlled, and someone who does not think for themselves. So, here is the article. Listen carefully. I'm not reading all of it, just a few parts. A sheeple is a person that has very strong visceral and vibrant emotions about a subject that they have had no first-hand experience about. This is how you can define what a sheeple is. It is an easily manipulated person that follows various shepherds and listen to their Pied Piper song and dance even to their deaths. You are a sheeple. You are angry about something you have read, not what you have experienced. Now listen, unless you have experienced the events that generate your anger personally, you're being manipulated by those that own the media companies, and they are using you. Just think, all they have to do is keep throwing something in front of you that makes you angry, makes you resentful, makes you fearful, upsets you. You know, my father used to box some professionally when he was younger. And when I got to be a teenage boy. He taught me a lot about boxing. And I never will forget one thing that he said. He said, "Now, son," he said, "I'm not telling you to hurt somebody. But," he said, "if you ever have to hurt someone in a fight," he said, "the first thing you do is make them mad." He said, "because when a man gets mad, he doesn't think." It's the same truth. When a man gets angry, he doesn't think. It's his emotions that are in control. Now listen to this. Fear, anger, shame, peer pressure, and yes, even patriotism can be used to manipulate and control. Fear is one of the greatest manipulatory tools. Look at what has happened in our country, even in regard to face masks. There are people that will avoid, like the plague, someone who does not have a face mask on. They even avoid their own families. I read this past week, someone thought it was cute, someone thought it was wonderful that a doctor wrote a prescription for a grandmother that it was now all right for her to hug her grandchild. I got news for you. I don't need a doctor's prescription to hug my grandchild. I'm just simply pointing out the fact, if someone does not follow the rules, then those who are following the rules, when they meet someone like that, they fall apart. They get angry, they get resentful, and sometimes they get violent. And they just simply don't understand that they're the ones that are being manipulated, they're the ones that are being controlled. And they're angry at someone who does not follow those rules. Now, someone has said this, I thought it was very interesting, especially in the age in which most of us were raised. But someone said, "Funny how we were raised to resist peer pressure and not experiment with drugs, and today we're being peer pressured into taking experimental drugs." Wow. Here's an article, and I told you I was going to be quoting a lot, but this article is titled, "Why Are People So Crazy About Being Guinea Pigs?" by Michael Lesher. Listen to these paragraphs. He said, "In fact, our government isn't just refusing to protect us without even an arguable excuse. Our government is going out of its way to subject us to dangers it is obliged to minimize. Even before these experimental drugs had reached the market, U.S. officials had taken the unprecedented step of granting the manufacturers blanket legal immunity for any adverse effects the drugs may cause. They have exempted the vaccines from crucial stages of pre-approval, animal testing, etc. And now they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars in public funds to pressure people into taking the drugs while concealing serious questions about their safety, let alone their public utility." Got that? Huh. Now, if you will consider the ever-present face masks that are everywhere these days. I don't know if you've ever researched anything on face masks. Everything I'm going to tell you today, if you want some information, I have sites as long as my arm on every one of these subjects. I've read many, many subjects. But if you would listen to Dr. Lee Merritt, who is far more than a medical doctor. But Dr. Lee Merritt has an excellent article on the occultic nature and fraud of face masks. You'll find that on the internet. And if you'll notice, all the occult programs use masks. Even, what's the big place out in Washington is where they worship the grove and all this? Even they are masked. They wear face masks. And I hope you noticed that in Islam, the women are always masked because it's a picture of submission. But face masks are not just occultic in their origin. They also have a very physical determination upon your health. You need to think of all the poisons that you are exhaling. and then re-inhaling them into your body, even all the carbon dioxide. Here's an article that might excite your attention. Oklahoma doctors claim masks are harmful to healthy people, and they file lawsuits against the mandates. Here it is. Jinx, Oklahoma, a group is suing Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum and Tulsa Health Department Executive Director Bruce Dart, saying the city's mask mandate is harmful to healthy people. Robert Zoller, Clay Clark, Dr. James Meehan, and other Tulsa-based business owners are asking the city to immediately repeal the mask mandate, which was passed last month. The group alleges wearing masks is causing healthy people to become sick while trying to prevent the spread of a disease that is not a deadly threat to children and much of the public. Now listen, on the OSHA website, it states that employers shouldn't make employees work in an environment where they have less than a 19.5% oxygen level, said Clayton Clark, one of the plaintiffs. And the mandated mask cause employees to dip below 19.5% oxygen level within 10 seconds of wearing a mask. So he said, I do not want my healthy employees to be sick. Wow. Within 10 seconds. Now, that I've gotten your attention, I want you to listen to this. Here's a German neurologist who's warning about wearing face masks. Here's the article. Oxygen deprivation causes permanent neurological damage. Dr. Marguerite Brisson, listen, MD, PhD, is a consultant neurologist and neurophysiologist with a PhD in pharmacology with special interest in neurotoxicology, environmental medicine, neuroregeneration, and neuroplasticity. This is what she has to say about face masks and their effects on our brains. Listen. The re-inhalation of our exhaled air will without a doubt create oxygen deficiency and a flooding of carbon dioxide. We know that the human brain is very sensitive to oxygen deprivation. There are nerve cells, for example, in the hippocampus that can't live longer than 3 minutes without oxygen. They cannot survive. The acute warning symptoms are headaches, drowsiness, dizziness, issues in concentration, slowing down of reaction time, reactions of the cognitive system. However, when you have chronic oxygen deprivation, all of these symptoms disappear because you get used to it. But your efficiency will remain impaired and the undersupply of oxygen in your brain continues to progress. I know how damaging oxygen deprivation is for the brain. Cardiologists know how damaging it is for the heart. Pulmonologists know how damaging it is for the lungs. Oxygen deprivation damages every single organ. Listen, here's the conclusion to her article. Oxygen deficiency inhibits the development of the brain, and the damage that has taken place as a result cannot be reversed. So what she is saying is there is irreversible brain damage when you continue to wear masks. Now, if that's not sufficient to make you think, if that's not sufficient to make you study and do some research, how about this one? Even the dentists are saying that masks are unhealthy. Here's the quote. Mask mouth, or a play on meth mouth, is spreading like wildfire, and dentists are warning that it could have very serious consequences, including death. Gum disease, or periodontal disease, will eventually lead to strokes and an increased risk of heart attacks, warns Mark Scalafani, a dentist and co-founder of One Manhattan Dental. Wearing a mask on a regular basis is causing many to experience severe mouth inflammation, the complications of which can be extremely severe. We're seeing inflammation in people's gums, that have been healthy forever, and cavities in people who've never had them before. Wow. So here dentists saying, you better not be wearing a mask. Wow. How about this one? Graphene in masks. Everybody knows about asbestos, but most people do not know about graphene. But in 2018, the journal Nanoethics stated that graphene is a nanomaterial with many promising and innovative applications, yet early studies indicate that graphene may pose risks to humans and to the environment. By the way, it's in the mask. The article goes on to state that a specially notable study found that micrometer thick sheets of a few graphene layers can penetrate cell membranes at the sheet's corners, of which numerous exist along the irregular edges of fabricated graphene. The piercing of cells illustrates the inherent potential of graphene to cause harm to organisms. A Chemistry World article dated back to 2012 stated that once graphene enters the lungs, the immune system has trouble getting rid of it, and went on to state that graphene nanoplatelets can penetrate deeper into the lungs than their size would suggest. And once there, the body's natural defenses cannot deal with them effectively. Chronic exposure could therefore lead to inflammation and disease in a similar way to asbestos fibers. Asbestos. Let that sink in. Now listen, I'm reading the article. Your face mask seems so necessary to protect you from this virus that has a 99% survival rate can result in the horrific lung damage seen with asbestos. And this has been known since at least 2012. That is why in Canada, they had to stop the kindergartners from wearing face masks because they were having pulmonary problems. They could not breathe. And they said it was like inhaling cat hair. Masks are absolutely useless except for evidence of control and submission. They harm, they do not help. Listen to this. Viruses are in your body. Everyone has viruses. You have thousands of viruses. Many of them are good viruses. A few are bad. But you know why the bad do not take over and do not control and you do not get sick? And the answer is because of a healthy immune system. It's the immune system that keeps the bad viruses in control. It is not a mask. Not a mask by any stretch of the imagination. And so when one refuses to wear a mask now, what everybody thinks is, well, you're a rebel. You're being civilly disobedient. You're not concerned about your health. You're not concerned about the health of others. And so you're just got to be a rebel. Well, I want to give you a quote. This quote is from Howard Zinn, and he said this in 1970. I don't know if he's still alive. But if he's still alive, I guarantee you he would reemphasize this. Here's what he said. Civil disobedience is not our problem. Our problem is civil obedience. Our problem is that people all over the world have obeyed the dictates of leaders, and millions have been killed because of this obedience. Our problem is that people are obedient all over the world in the face of poverty, starvation, and stupidity, and war, and cruelty. Our problem is that people are obedient while the jails are full of petty thieves and the grand thieves are running the country. That's our problem. And that is a fact. Propaganda, misinformation, error, and lies have conditioned the sheeple to obey without thinking and to obey without resistance, which ultimately will lead to our own destruction, our own death. Here's a quote from Gary D. Barnett. You can find this on Lou Maxwell, but here's the article he wrote. The next phase of this fake pandemic will be premeditated mass murder by vaccine. Now, I've sent some of you some sites, and I hope you know that Dr. Judy Makovits, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, frontline doctors all over, they're saying that as many as 50 million people in America can die from these vaccines. Not right away. There's over 3,000 already died that's been reported. Over 250,000 that have had adverse effects and are disabled, some of them. And maybe even more. That doesn't count Europe. And of course, you heard how in Colorado this past week, how they had to shut down 2 mass vaccination shots because people were having adverse reactions in their automobiles. So anyhow, here's what the article says. He's talking about mass murder. He says the stage is set, the plan is in place, and the people are still asleep. The realization that this state, we're talking about our government, that this state has declared war on the American people is unknown to most. And when the killing reaches high levels, the sheep will be told it is due to a mutated virus variant. And it is their fault for not being injected quickly enough with poisonous vaccines administered by the same criminal state. Make no mistake about it, you are the enemy of the state in this war against mankind. This manufactured pandemic began with lies and was perpetuated by mass propaganda, so much so as to cause extreme fear and panic out of thin air. This is what real domestic terrorism looks like. And it is being executed by the United States government under the control of its masters in banking, finance, and corporate America, those at the top of the pyramid of power that make up the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, and the major players in science, technology, and mainstream media and medicine, and the pharmaceutical industry. This long-planned plot to depopulate the earth and take total control over all of us could be considered ingenious, but for the fact it is pure evil. The end game sought by these totalitarian monsters is to inject each and every American with this experimental, mind-altering, body-changing, genetic reshaping, and deadly operating system falsely being called a COVID vaccine. It is not a vaccine at all, but a control and depopulation tool, purposefully designed to cause extreme sickness and death. These adverse responses caused by these toxic injections will not be correctly blamed on the shot, but will instead be used to claim that mutated variant expressions of the non-existent COVID-19 strain are the culprit. This will allow more fear and panic in order to set up a greater demand for vaccination. These never-ending crises will cause a much higher percentage of Americans to voluntarily seek out and take this virulent injection, and this will, of course, lead to an unending array of critical dilemmas, just as the state desires. Now, I've already pointed out how Dr. Tenpenny, as well as Dr. Judy Makovits, frontline doctors, all say that this is not a vaccine, it is gene therapy. I would challenge everyone in this room, if you have not listened to Dr. David Martin, read from the patents from these so-called vaccines. He reads, he explains in the patent, by reading the patent, that it is patented as gene therapy. It is not a vaccine, does not meet the definition of vaccine. It cannot be a vaccine, and he gives you the definition of vaccine. And he proved from the very patents it is nothing more than gene therapy. So, I want you to understand something about this COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccine. It is not a vaccine, and it is not federally approved. The FDA has not approved it. It is given only as an emergency measure. And since it is an emergency measure, you have to sign in order to take it. Once you sign, you are waiving all liability. You are saying that you are totally responsible, and you are agreeing to be a human guinea pig. They do not know what it's going to do in your body. You don't know what it's going to do in your body. But once you take it, it is irreversible. It cannot be reversed. It cannot be gotten out of your system. It will change your RNA. It will change your system. Period. Read the articles. Look at the pregnant women that have taken the shot and immediately miscarried. They've already said it. They have no idea how it's going to attack the fertility in men and women as well. But here's another article that should cause you to think. One of the European drug regulators, senior official, said that there is a clear link between AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine and potentially deadly blood clots. Marco Cavalera, head of the vaccines at the European Medicines Agency, said that CVST, a brain blockage that can lead to a stroke, was occurring more often than expected in younger people. He still was admitted how he was baffled by this, but he had to concede, yes, the vaccine was causing blood clots. Dr. Simone Gold, who is an MD and JD, founder of America's Frontline Doctors, recently said this: vaccination mandates at the state, local, and private level are incompatible with civil liberties and subject millions of Americans to an experimental drug. Gold went on to say, most Americans should not consider an experimental drug for an illness with a 99.7% survival rate at the risk of the experimental treatment would exceed any benefit. Said, don't do it. Jim Stone, who is an investigative journalist, said this: the coronavax does not fight a virus. And it doesn't. It produces spike proteins in your body. He says the coronavax does not fight a virus. It instead programs your body to produce prions. So in a delayed timetable, people start going zombie or start having seizures or whatever, depending on what part of the brain the prions build up in first. And we end up with a year down the road, a modified version of Walking Dead, where the zombies don't necessarily bite you, but plenty of scary stuff is visible, and they also don't live very long. Wow. Now, I sent out to most of you, not all of you, just recently, a 4-minute video clip of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. That 4-minute video clip was out of an hour and a half program that she and others were involved in. And she was pointing out how that all four of these vaccines, the J&J, the AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and Moderna, all produce these spike proteins, these prions, and how they penetrate the blood-brain barrier. And once it gets to your brain, it causes early dementia, Alzheimer's. It causes Lou Gehrig's disease. It causes all kind of things that you and I would never want. She also explains how it destroys the frontal and the temporal membrane of the brain, which produces all kind of problems as well. I'm just simply pointing out, this is an experimental vaccine. It is not really a vaccine. It's just experimental gene therapy is what it amounts to. Now, let me mention something else that you need to check into. And I told you this message was a warning. And most of us have never, ever thought about this. But everybody's talking about the 5G technology, the fifth generation technology. Well, that 5G is 60 gigahertz technology. Everybody knows that, or at least believes, that this virus started in Wuhan, China. That's why it was called the Chinese virus, etc. But what a lot of people do not know is that the very first city to really initiate 5G technology was Wuhan, China. I want you to listen to this. You have to do your own research, but I'm telling you, here's what I came up with. The 5G or the 60 gigahertz technology mimics the so-called coronavirus down to every symptom. Corona is merely a cover for the devastating 5G network. In one research paper, I read this. In this research, we show that 5G millimeter waves could be absorbed by dermatological cells acting as antennas, transferred to other cells, and play the main role in producing coronaviruses in biological cells. The 5G millimeter waves could be good candidates for applying in constructing virus-like structures such as coronaviruses, COVID-19, within the cells. Now hang on. Listen to this one. Same article. Many researchers have considered the effects of 5G technology on human health. We're talking about your smartphones. Now listen carefully. Many researchers have considered the effects of 5G technology on human health. For example, it has been shown that 5G mobile networking technology, your smartphone, will affect not only the skin and eyes, but will have adverse systemic effects as well. In another study, it was argued that 5G technologies cause great harm to human health. Cancer is only one of the main problems. Listen, 5G causes 720 factorial different diseases in human beings and can kill everything that lives except some forms of microorganisms. 720 different diseases in the human body 5G can produce. Wow. Big tech and big pharma have teamed up to manipulate, control, and to destroy us. Listen to this. Here's a quote. Big pharma and Microsoft are teaming up in something called ID 2020 Alliance that will combine vaccinations with implantable microchips to create your digital ID. If you've never read or if you've never heard Dr. Carrie Medjay on Transhumanism 2.0, you need to go listen as she explains all of that in great detail. In fact, others do as well, but it is absolutely astounding. When you understand that this hooks you up to the cloud, where they can control every part of your being and know what you're doing, it is unbelievable. Here's a quote I'm going to tell you about Dr. Mike Yeardon before I give you the quote. Dr. Mike Yeardon was a former vice president with Pfizer. 32 years in the industry, he was the chief scientist for allergy and infection. And here is what Dr. Yeardon said. Remember, he was vice president of Pfizer. He said, and I'm quoting, "I'm well aware of the global crimes against humanity being perpetrated against a large proportion of the world's population. Please warn every person not to go near top-up or booster vaccine shots. There is absolutely no need to them. As there is no need for them, yet they are being made in pharma and regulators have stood aside, no safety testing. I can only deduce that they will be used for nefarious purposes. For example, if someone wished to harm or to kill a significant proportion of the world's population over the next few years, the systems being put in place right now will enable it. It is my considered view that it is entirely possible that this will be used for massive scale depopulation. And if you wanted to introduce a characteristic which would be harmful and could even be lethal, and you can tune it to say, let's put in it some gene that will cause liver injury over a 9-month period, or cause your kidneys to fail, but not until you encounter this kind of organism, that would be quite possible. Biotechnology, I'm quoting, biotechnology provides you with limitless ways, frankly, to injure or kill billions of people. I'm very worried, he said, That pathway will be used for mass depopulation because I can't think of any benign explanation. And it was Bill Gates who said, if we do the vaccines properly, we can get the population down from 5 to 15%. The end goal is depopulation. I read an article on Lou Rockwell written by Bill Sardi. Bill Sardi has been dealing with this for years and years. He and John Rappaport. He quoted Dr. Ryan Cole. And once he quoted Dr. Ryan Cole, I went and watched Dr. Cole on the internet as he gave this speech. Let me tell you something about Dr. Cole before I tell you what he deduced. Dr. Ryan Cole is the CEO and medical director of Cole Diagnostics, one of the largest independent labs in the state of Idaho. Dr. Cole has conducted over 100,000 COVID-19 tests, lab tests, and treated over 350,000 patients. You can hear his speech on the internet, but here's basically what he said. Number one, coronaviruses or coronavirus infections are seasonal. I read where one scientist took hundreds of so-called positive tests for COVID-19 and said we never found any COVID or coronavirus. What we did find was influenza A and influenza B. So whatever it is, he's saying it is seasonal. Now listen to this. Average COVID-19 age of death is 78.6 years. Average annual U.S. age of death historically is 78.6 years. They're one and the same. Face mask wearing outdoors is absolute insanity. No study shows any super spreader event outdoors. The best mask of all is your immune system. Listen, there is no such thing as cold or flu season. There's only low vitamin D season. Inflammatory cytokine storm cannot be controlled without adequate vitamin D levels. Massive numbers of Americans have low vitamin D levels. 96% of ICU patients are vitamin D deficient. You cannot synthesize vitamin D from sunlight during fall and winter at a 35 degree angle north. You're living in the northern climates. You are immune suppressed if you do not supplement with vitamin D during fall and winter. Scandinavian countries, Finland, Norway, Sweden, test their citizens twice a year for vitamin D and fortify 35 foods with vitamin D. Our population is left vulnerable to any seasonal viral infection without a public health program to promote vitamin D adequacy. Now listen, there is no social disparity of care, but the fact is darker skin pigmentation inhibits sunshine vitamin D synthesis in the skin. Fauci, this is Dr. Anthony Fauci, said he personally takes 8,000 to 9,000 units of vitamin D per day. And then he asked, why has he not made this a public health message? The top three public health messages should be, number one, vitamin D. Number two, vitamin D. Number three, vitamin D. He goes on to say this, by the way, by law, the federal government cannot approve a vaccine if there is a proven treatment. That would be ivermectin. The government is in bed with the vaccine company. Both the federal government and Moderna co-hold patents on the RNA vaccine. The fox is guarding the hen house. The drug, remdesivir, only works during the first 2 to 3 days of the infection. It does not increase survival. Here's his quote. Using it is like peeing on a forest fire. And by the way, another article I read said that shot was $3,500 a pop. $3,500 for a shot. Then he goes on to say this. Listen carefully. 4 billion doses of ivermectin have been safely taken. Ivermectin. Death rates decrease 70-90% in hospitals treating COVID-19 patients with ivermectin. Over 500,000 COVID-19 deaths in North America, there would be 375,000 less deaths if ivermectin were used. Public health officials have blood on their hands. This is a doctor speaking. 100% of ivermectin-treated patients don't get ill. 100%. Works for all genetic variants. The vaccines are an experiment on society. The vaccine is unproven and a long-term safety data is not even being provided. And then he says, you can get ivermectin from doctors online. MyFreeDoctor.com. Well, you can also get ivermectin at Tractor Supply. I use ivermectin to treat my animals. It's a parasite cleanse. It kills parasites. But he has said it's 100% effective, 100% safe. And he said that he's found it be 100% safe even at 30 times what is normally given. I'm just saying what he said. Now, let me try to tie some things together for us. I've given you a lot of information. I've given you a lot of facts. And I also will give you every one of these sites where you can research them for yourself. That's no problem. But here is my first application. One of the biggest mistakes that we assume and have assumed in this country is that the government is our friend and has our best interest in mind. It is not our friend. It does not have our best interest in mind. More people have been murdered by governments than all wars combined. Think Stalin. Think Mao Zedong. Think Pol Pot. Think Idi Amin. There's one article I read that said 200 million people were murdered by governments in the 20th century, and that did not include the wars. 200 million people. Stalin killed 50 million himself. How many Pol Pot killed, I have no earthly idea. Tanner Ackam said it like this, in general, those who resort to mass murder on a collective scale always put forward the justification that they acted on behalf of the nation. We're just looking out for you. It was George Orwell who said it like this, all tyrannies rule through fraud and force. But once the fraud is exposed, they must rely exclusively upon force. And that is a fact. Here's the next application. Unhappily, there is a natural and unhealthy desire to be governed. And what I mean by to be governed is this. We want to be told what to do. We want to be told what to think. We want to be told what to act and how to act. Wow. That way we don't have any personal responsibility. That way we don't have to do any study, we don't have to do any research, we don't have to take responsibility for ourselves. It's kind of like those people in 1 Samuel chapter 8 who were demanding a king, a human king, when God was their king. And one of the reasons they gave was this, we need a king so he can tell us what to do and to fight our wars for us. We don't want to have to fight ourselves, but we want him. We want a man to tell us what to do. P.J. Proudhon gave a pretty good summary of what it means to be governed. And when you get home, if you will take the time to read 1 Samuel chapter 8, you will find that this man hit it pretty much on the nail head. Listen to what he said. To be governed is to be watched, inspected, spied upon, directed, law-driven, numbered, regulated, enrolled, indoctrinated, preached at, controlled, checked, estimated, valued, censured, commanded by creatures who have neither the right nor the wisdom nor the virtue to do so. To be governed is to be at every operation, at every transaction noted, registered, counted, taxed, stamped, measured, numbered, assessed, licensed, authorized, admonished, prevented, forbidden, reformed, corrected, and punished. It is under pretext of public utility and in the name of the general interest to be placed under contribution, drilled, fleeced, exploited, monopolized, extorted from, squeezed, hoaxed, robbed, then at the slightest resistance, the first word of complaint, to be repressed, fined, vilified, harassed, hunted down, abused, clubbed, disarmed, bound, choked, imprisoned, judged, condemned, shot, deported, sacrificed, sold, betrayed, and to crown all, mocked, ridiculed, derided, outraged, and dishonored. That is government. That is its justice. And that is its morality. The only thing he left out is to be vaccinated. He pretty well hit it on the head. Here's why I wanted to bring this. Most of you know what I just taught. But a lot of people that listen to my sermons online have not heard this information. So let me try to sum everything up for you. Here it is. You are responsible for yourself. You are responsible for your health. You are responsible for your life. You are responsible for your family. The government is not responsible. The doctor is not responsible. The media is not responsible. You are responsible. And if you are too lazy, too sluggish, too unconcerned about your health and your life, and you're willing to leave that in the hands of others, you will die. You will die needlessly, and you will suffer enormously, but you will die. I want you to listen to this. Here it is. 6,000% increase in reported vaccine deaths from the first quarter of 2021 compared to the first quarter of 2020. 6,000% increase in deaths. Who put that information out? The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. You can listen. It's on the internet, I'm sure. I listened to it years and years ago. Dead doctors don't lie. You can also read the book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic. And the good doctor said, don't you ever go into a hospital by yourself. Dr. Mendelsohn. He said, you better have someone to check every shot. You better have someone to check every pill. Do not go into the hospital by yourself. His own brother went into the hospital. And he went by to check on his brother and come to find out they had taken his brother to surgery. And his brother was not even scheduled a surgery. And when he rushed down to the surgical ward, the only thing that saved his brother from having an unneeded surgery was they had him set up for a hysterectomy.
You're responsible for your health. You're responsible for your life. If you've never read the Nuremberg Code, check it out online. Here it is. The universal right of informed consent to medical intervention has been recognized in the United States as law since 1914. The first and foremost principle is unequivocal, and that is the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. So there is no mandatory vaccine. Mandatory vaccines are against the law. If you do not consent, according to law, it cannot be done. Now, I started this message with Proverbs 8, verses 35 and 36, and that's how I want to end it. Our Lord said, who is wisdom personified, "He that findeth me findeth life and obtaineth favor of the Lord." But He said, "All they that hate me wrong their own soul. All they that hate me love death." Hating Jesus Christ is hating life, health, and happiness. Hating Jesus Christ is loving misery and death. Those who hate Jesus Christ die twice. They die physically and they die eternally. Those who love Jesus Christ only die once. That is physically. And I tell people, I know I've got to die. I understand that. But when I die, I'd like to die so absolutely healthy, people would look in my casket and say, I wonder what killed him. Alice and I take no medications whatsoever. 77. Last week, I met another couple, a Christian couple, older than Alice and I. And as I was talking to the lady of the house, and I was asking how her husband was since he was not there, she says, "We're doing fine." She says, "We're 85. And neither one of us take any medication whatsoever." I said, "Well, that's just the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God." Yeah, I want to die healthy. I want to take care of my life. And I tell people, I want to die with my boots on. I don't want to die in the pulpit where I scare everybody to death, but I don't mind dying right after I preach, you know. But sure, you are responsible for your health. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to live as healthy as you can possibly live, so you can live as long as you possibly can live and serve Him and honor Him and glorify Him. We need to learn to think. We need to learn to study. We need to learn to research. We need to learn to investigate. We need to learn to take responsibility for every area of our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bow to Thee. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You, Father, for Your love to us. Lord, help us to be responsible. Help us to research. Help us to learn. Help us to honor Thee in all that we say and do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen.